dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This is the Quality News Network. 4 U.S. servicemen were killed in 3 separate incidents in Baghdad, 2 in a small arms attack, and the other 2 in different roadside bombs. In Iraq, 4,000 U.S. forces are searching South Baghdad house by house in an attempt to rescue 3 U.S. soldiers reportedly kidnapped by Al-Qaeda. The group claiming to be holding the soldiers has demanded that the U.S. halt the search. They warn that if the search continues, they will not guarantee the safety of the captured troops. Clashes on the Afghan-Pakistan border this morning killed 6 Afghan soldiers and 7 children. An additional 28 have been wounded. The fighting was the worst seen there in recent years. AFP reports Iraq's Interior Ministry has banned news cameras from recording scenes of bomb attacks. The press agency says the ban is the latest Iraqi attempt to minimize coverage of the country's sectarian violence. In Islamabad this morning, assassins broke into the home of a top Supreme Court judge, killing him. For days, Pakistan has been torn apart by attorney-led deadly riots protesting the government's dismissal of the country's chief judge. In the White House Rose Garden today, President Bush ordered federal agencies to find a way to regulate automobile emissions by the time he leaves office in early 2009. The announcement is part of the president's plan to reduce greenhouse gases. Eric Rudolph, the man responsible for the 1996 Olympic bombings in Atlanta, has been reportedly taunting his victims from his Supermax prison cell. Although Rudolph has no direct access to the Internet, he has been sending essays via mail to supporters who have been posting them on the Internet. Prison officials say there is little they can do to prevent this. In California, firefighters say they expect to have the fire on Santa Catalina Island under control by tomorrow. In Minnesota, a storm forecast for today may bring rain to assist firefighters as they battle a huge blaze there. However, they're worried the weather will also bring high winds. Officials are investigating the incident in which an Alaskan cruise ship ran aground outside of Juneau. 281 passengers and crew were evacuated and transferred onto Coast Guard and civilian boats. No injuries have been reported. In Montana, officials are investigating the cause of a small plane crash near a private airfield. A pilot and 4 skydivers were killed. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
The Pentagon has banned access to 11 popular websites for U.S. troops. The sites include YouTube and MySpace and music sites Pandora and Live365. The Department of Defense cites security concerns for limiting troops' web access. Daimler Chrysler has agreed to sell 80% of its troubled Chrysler unit to U.S. private equity firm Cerberus for $7.41 billion. Chrysler lost $1.5 billion last year. Its restructuring means the loss of 13,000 jobs. If World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz does not resign this week, the bank's executive board said yesterday, it will hold a no-confidence vote. Wolfowitz broke ethics regulations when unilaterally promoting his girlfriend. Legislation has been introduced in the New Jersey Senate mandating pregnant women to be tested for HIV twice during pregnancy. In addition, all newborns would also be tested for the virus that causes AIDS. Increased U.S. postal rates go into effect today. A first-class stamp will now cost 41 cents, but the Postal Service is offering a way to save on postage by selling forever stamps that will remain valid despite future postal hikes. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.46 a barrel, and on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is up 20.56 points. The NASDAQ is down 15.78 points. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Reed Kavner.
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Screaming all right.
Damn it.
You know, I mean, I don't mean to. I'm sorry. It's Monday. It's happy, back on the air. Yay. But you're trying to get a radio show ready to go. Agnes looks up at me and goes, "I can't type anymore," because she's over in the production chat and the keyboard had crapped out. But it's working now. And then when we get done dealing, I look over there and the black stag and blue knot pole frenzel blinking mouse on my machine won't move. And now I'm going to go to my happy place. Happy Gilmore was on over the weekend and just happened to wander through the living room on the way to the smoker. I worked up a couple of beautiful, beautiful, absolutely gorgeous pork shoulders. But Happy Gilmore was on as I walked by, and there was Happy going to his happy place. And I told Agnes, for those of you who know the film, I told Agnes that she's got to get the Happy Place outfit. I'll bring her the two pitchers for the two pitchers of beer part of the Happy Place scene. Letting go now, letting everything go. Easy. No, you know me. I'm trying to work paperless, trying to do my part to cut down on natural resource consumption. And every time I decide to go out on the limb and not print stories, something crappy happens. And for the life of me, I don't understand why. So, Control-Alt-Delete? No, doesn't work. But the button on the machine, that always works. Hang on here. Okay, we're going to reset this little sucker, or bust in the process. All righty then. And then I'll just sort of find the stories that I wanted to deal with as we go. You know, and now my microphone boom has erectile dysfunction. Get up there. Oh, Lord God, Billy Bob, it is such a Monday. But we'll get through it, won't we? Of course we will. Because we're advanced humans, we're liberals, we're progressive, we adapt. We are Homo sapiens and proud of it. Regardless of what the fundamentalists think they came from, We're highly evolved beings. We're not dirt. You know, that's something I never understood with regard to the fundies. I didn't come from no monkey. All right, what'd you come from? Dirt! I come from dirt! Oh, good. So, in other words, dirt is better than monkeys. Whew. Okay. Okay, Elmer. I hope that works out for you. So, but no, there's plenty to talk about coming up this evening. The few things on my list include this business with the directive coming from Al Qaeda in Iraq, in other words, somewhere in the basement of the White House, telling us to stop the search for three missing soldiers. There's that, and by the way, if American soldiers in Iraq wanted to tell their loved ones that with a video that they'd shot and uploaded to YouTube, too bad, so sad, bye-bye, because the top brass, recognizing now that Iraq is lost, Iraq is a disaster. It has been micromanaged into the ground by a guy who couldn't be bothered at the time to show up for, you know, National Guard training weekend, for the love of God. Iraq is bust. Iraq is dead. Iraq is finished. Iraq is over. Iraq is one that goes in our L column. Oh, well, CLI.exe. Application has generated an exception that could not be handled. Well, okay. At any rate, you saw, I presume, you saw that after last week when it came out that the Pentagon was cracking down on, what, emails and blogs? And Dana Perineal came out and said, "Well, you know, it's not what you think it is, you know. I mean, like, there's bigger things to worry about. Like, my hubby got put in jail overnight because he told like a Park Service cop to go chase squirrels and stuff, and like blew off the ticket and wouldn't pay it because, you know, like, we're rich and we're better than that. And like, who do they think they are? Like, giving us a ticket, and you want to talk about soldiers not being able to blog? I mean, what are you, an American?" No, last week, the Bush administration came out last week and said, "Oh, this whole story about the crackdown on blogs is much ado about nothing. There's nothing really new here. There's nothing to see. Move along. Nothing to see here." And the daggum mouse still won't work. No, it's not going to be all right, Agnes. I can't hardly... No. So it turns out it was a big deal. The blogs have been cracked down on. Email has been cracked down on. And, of course, soldiers being resourceful, okay, they got our emails and they got our blogs. Well, maybe we can do it at YouTube. Nah, they've cracked down on YouTube. Okay, we'll go over to MySpace. Nah, they cracked down on MySpace. Okay, we'll do it at Facebook. Facebook's gone, too. If you're a member of the United States military, but buck up, soldiers! That's okay. You can still get Rush Limbaugh on your radio speaker thingy every blessed day. Congratulations. Welcome to free speech. You hear the speech we want you to hear, and it's free. Except to the taxpayers. We have to pay Rush for his programming so that we can pump that filthy propaganda out to the various and sundry soldiers sitting around in Halliburton-sponsored mess halls where slave labor is cooking the food and, you know, can't get home even though it's a night. Yeah. Charming, ain't it? So that's kind of where we start. And we can go into it at greater depth. We can do most anything you want to do, except I can't. Except you can't like send me a link to a story because, God, this is frustrating. So we're going to take a break, and I'm going to reboot this little bastard and see if it'll work this time. Oh, gin bottle meets straw. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I thank you.
I know that you were planning to disconnect me, and I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
heard a moment ago. Almost 20 minutes after the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. We're off to a, I wouldn't call it a running start on a Monday or anything, but it's start enough as it is. And a program note for you. Odds are there will be no show Thursday and no show Friday. I'm hitting the road this week. I've got to make a run Alabama way. Don't worry, I'll be back for the show a week from today. So we'll have shows tonight, tomorrow, and we'll have our prayer meeting. I don't know. There's an outside chance, I guess, that I could pull off a show on Thursday, depending on how things work out. It just sort of remains to be seen. We'll see how things shake out. At any rate, let's go to the phone. Susan is calling from Columbia City, Oregon, let's go to the phones. Yes, Susan calling from Columbia City, Oregon.
Hi there.
Hi, Susan. Tough to get good help around here.
You're going to pay for that crack.
Oh, yeah, I will. I will, but, you know, oh, brother, what a start we're off to. Sorry.
Oh, hey, it's nothing compared to the start I made this weekend.
Yeah, I know. I heard. Yeah, flinging yourself down the stairs, is that it?
Well, personally, I like to tell people, Donald knocked me down the stairs, but they're not believing it.
Yeah, I don't either. Donald's a sweet guy. He wouldn't do any such thing.
You want to hear something really spiffy?
Sure.
My computer's upstairs, and I generally...
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And I call in on Skype, which is what I'm doing now. One of my stepsons, who is also a right winger, believe it or not, sent us this really spiffy little goodie. It's a telephone that works on Skype from anywhere in the house.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I'm downstairs calling through my computer, which is upstairs.
Very cool. Thank heaven for small favors.
Yeah.
You mentioned having a right winger in the family.
I got three of them.
I'm informed that our good friend Billy Shear's daughter's wedding came off beautifully over the weekend, but that he ran. Apparently, there are right wingers in his family too. And
oh dear.
You know, poor. I don't know how you cope. I mean,
yeah, they're everywhere. You know, like cockroaches.
Yeah, or termites, or you know, what? There's an outbreak of bubonic plague in Denver. You know, is Neil Bush still living in Denver? No, he's gone. Sorry.
Well, the thing with the Denver thing, you get the plague. They find it in fleas and squirrels.
Right.
Now, you find the plague in squirrel fleas all the time. It's not that big a deal. The big thing is to stay away from antibiotics. Don't go taking antibiotics just because you get the sniffles, because the one thing that will knock out the plague is an antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you don't want to be resistant to it.
You got it. So, you know, if you're not resistant to it, you've got no problems. But, you know, they've had instances of the plague in Northern California, in the Oregon woods, in Northern Idaho, you know, any place there's squirrels, you know.
Right.
It's endemic, you know.
To vermin.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah, they're vermin.
Yeah, squirrels, rats, Republicans.
Now, let's not get nasty. Probably just Carl Rove and his group.
Boy, I tell you, you're the optimist this evening, aren't you? What, is the pain medicine kicking in?
Probably. I'm pretty well stoned.
Oh, okay, cool. You know, you found a doctor that actually did pain meds? You're doing better than most.
Yeah, got down to my friendly neighborhood orthopod today, and he was nice enough to give me some oxycodone.
So. Thank heaven for small favors.
Me and Raj, you know, you mentioned it.
Yeah, but you haven't sent the maid out to hustle you up 300 more hits, have you?
No, that's true.
So in that's fact, the difference
my,
between
my other
you and
doctor
Rush.
Offered me a prescription, and I told her, no, this doctor gave me a prescription, so I won't be needing yours. So I'm one of those distressingly honest people.
You liberal, you progressive. See, that's
that's
why you're killing America, all that honesty.
Yes, isn't that terrible? You mentioned the servicemen being stuck with listening to Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the government likes to say they balance it out with a progressive talk show. You know,
which is?
Listen to?
What?
Schultz.
Oh. You're not helping again.
I just thought you'd get a nice gag reflex out of that, you know, just, good grief.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, he's no more progressive than, you know, Rush is.
Well, I mean, bless his little heart. You know, Ed hit gold. I mean, he put in his 20 or 30 years in radio in North Dakota. He called high school football games. He did everything small market radio does,
mm-hmm.
and he also did a talk show where he was a Rush wannabe.
Yeah.
In other words, he did all the Rush shtick, you know, all the right-wing talking points, and when he realized that there was a glut of right-wing Rush wannabes, he decided to take the other tack and declare himself a gun-toting liberal.
Yeah.
And fortunately, with a little bit of seed money from a certain former U.S. senator, he was able to take his show nationwide. Good on him, you know. He is fairly labor friendly, but you know he also doesn't he like kiss up to Joe Lieberman?
Yeah, he kisses up to a lot of Republicans too.
Yeah, because he's a centrist.
Yeah, personally, I would much rather listen to Stephanie Miller and fart jokes.
Well, Stephanie does. I mean, there's fart jokes and there's fart jokes, and Stephanie is yeah. And who's the guy with her? What's his name? He's a genius. I mean, he's Frank.
Oh yeah, the voice guy, the voice monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, between the two guys that she has with her, I could listen to her. Yeah, I listen to her at night just before I go to bed, because that way I have at least a modicum of humor to get rid of all of the grim that I've been listening to all day.
Right. You end with a giggle instead of a scream. Sure.
Sure.
Well, is the knee okay? I mean, are you all right? It can't be fun going down a set of stairs. Is everything okay? I mean, I kid, but
apparently I wrecked it up pretty good, but not to the point of actually needing surgery. Hot diggity. So it's a case of keep me drugged up and iced up until it decides to behave.
Well, what kind? I mean, are they giving you any idea of how long it's going to take you to recuperate and stuff? Or yeah?
Nope.
Rule one, stay off stairs, right?
Well, I pretty much have to stay on the stairs because I sleep upstairs.
Can't win, can you? Well, Susan,
What kissed me is when I fell, I was holding on to the banister.
Well, thank heaven that probably slowed you a little bit.
Yeah, just call me Grace. You know, just call me Grace.
Yeah, start the swirling violin music.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, you take care, Susan, and take your medicine. Doctor says take your medicine.
I plan on it, and you and Agnes have a lot of fun. Did Agnes ever get the living room straightened out?
She did. It's lovely. She did a lovely job. She just went into this frenzy in the living room today. At one point, I couldn't even get there. And I walked in there, and the whole thing's rearranged, and you know, it's like a Helen Keller joke. I mean, but she did a magnificent job.
Well, that's because she's wonderful. And if you're not, and if you're not smart, you will end up getting whacked with a frying pan if you don't watch it.
I live in constant dread.
Yeah, she may be small, but she can be mean.
All right, you take care, Susan.
You too, Bob.
Have a good evening.
Yeah, and give Agnes a kiss for me.
Will do.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. That's a, you know, that sounds like something I would do. I mean, I'm the guy with two legs. You've seen, what is it, Best in Show? Where the scene where he says, I have two left feet, and they pan down, and he really does have two left feet. That's me. Okay, that's not me. Let's see. We're half past the hour. Agnes, break or roll on? Okay. Teresa calling from Canada. Hey, Teresa, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm okay.
I just wanted to call to talk about the bright sparks in Tennessee, those teachers that terrorized their students on the class trip.
Oh, help me here.
That?
I'm out of the loop again.
Oh, well, it was in somewhere called Murfreesboro.
Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sure. Yeah, I know it well.
Staff members of an elementary school staged a fictitious gun attack on students during a class trip, telling them it was not a drill as the children cried and hid under tables. They were sixth graders.
You know, I saw that headline and just, shame on me, Teresa, I went right past it because when I did see it, it was like, I'll get back to this. I can't stand to look at this right now. You know, started with the fingers and the ears and the la 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 la.
No, I do that too. Like sometimes I can't even.
No, but help me here.
TV when they're on, but yeah, the parents are clearly outraged.
Just out of curiosity, and if the information wasn't there, it's okay. Public school?
I believe so. It's at Scales Elementary School.
Yeah, sounds public school to me. So they got a bunch of kids on a class trip, got them on the bus, and staged a mock attack?
69 sixth grade students. I'm reading from the website, well, from the CBC, the Canadian news website. The children were in that room in the dark, begging for their lives because they thought there was someone with a gun after them, said Brady Cole, who's someone on the trip.
At
first I thought I was going to die.
That makes my eyeballs feel like they're coming loose.
They turned the light on them, and then a teacher disguised in a hooded sweatshirt even pulled on a locked door to make them think that the gunman was trying to get in at them.
What were the teachers thinking? I mean, I'm usually pro-teacher, okay? I mean, but...
Me too, but hey, I have a sister and brother who are teachers, lots of friends. this is just outrageous. The principal, Catherine Stevens, declined to say whether they would receive disciplinary action, but said the situation was, quote, involved poor judgment. I don't know.
Poor judgment? Drugs? I mean...
One teacher, and it was a week-long camping trip. I guess they did it near the end of the trip. So after being terrorized, kids would be away from their parents. That you wouldn't even have your mom and dad to run to. You're sixth grade. What are you, 11 or something?
Yeah, I mean, 12. 12.
And 12, yeah.
This baffles me.
I couldn't believe it. Like,
now, I mean, I understand preparedness, and I understand, you know, what would you do when, but one, these kids are, this was a week-long camping trip, you just said, right?
Yeah.
So they're away from their parents for a week. It's toward the end of the camping trip. The kids are probably stressed a little bit.
Did they run it
past the administration, the school board, anybody?
It just says staff members of an elementary school staged a fictitious gun attack on students during a class trip. Telling them it was not a drill as the children cried and hid under tables. The mock attack Thursday night was intended as a learning experience and lasted 5 minutes. Like, 5 minutes, not one of the teachers said, hey, like, we're doing something wrong here. And, yeah, they put them in a room in the dark, and they said, oh, there's an attack happening. Yeah. And so they all went in there hiding under tables and everything. I wish I was making this up, but
I really, really wish you were. Of course, this Murfreesboro, Tennessee, south of Nash, Vegas. You know, this is. I'm sure that this is. Well, I'm not even going to speculate, but there's a lot of filthy right-wing talk on Nashville radio. I'm sure the freepers and the right-wingers have been calling in to say, you know, well, this was a necessary measure. They were just trying to protect the students.
But even for them, it'd be pretty difficult to...
So did any of the children rush the alleged the fake gunman like Neil Bortz says they should?
Unfortunately not. The teacher certainly would have deserved it, but yeah, they were terrorized.
So how did the teachers behave during this thing? Obviously, they were in on the gig. I mean, did they hide,
well,
too?
There seems to be a big clampdown. I'm switching between CNN and... CNN doesn't seem... they covered it, but there is no more on there than... There's a little bit more in the Canadian website I was looking at. No, yeah, it's already dropped from the headlines there. On CNN.
That is just mind-boggling.
It makes your head hurt.
What's wrong with people?
but a group of teachers, like a hysteria or something. They all.
Hey, gang! I got an idea.
The principal didn't. Oh, an assistant principal was, well, I'm just reading this, yes. An assistant principal was on the trip. He led it. It was a week-long trip to a state park. So they were out in the woods, too. Probably telling ghost stories and everything.
Sure. Oh, Lord. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Like I said, I saw the headline and just sort of waited, decided, you know, couldn't take it at the moment, didn't get back to it.
Well, I kind of did the same thing, and then my husband came up, and he said, have you seen what went on at that school? And I don't know what. And then when he told me, I went, no. I thought he was exaggerating. And then I went back to...
You know, it's another one of those little...
An hour they got back to it.
It's another one of those little moments when I look up and go, didn't happen in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
When I see these stories out of Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, places like that, I just feel so normal here in West Virginia, and yet we're the ones that bunch of hillbillies.
No, it's amazing. Their CNN is busy terrorizing us all. Wolf Blitzer on the Situation Room. His topic for 7 o'clock is, what would happen if there was a nuclear attack inside the U.S.? What would the reaction be? You know, in a probably related story, that movie Sum of All Fears was on the other night.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exactly what that was about. So what Wolf do, just
right.
Watch a movie. Hey, I can make a story around that. But
oh,
it just
Lord.
Seems like the terror thing is really ramping up. And it seems like CNN.
It's a function. I mean, did you see that?
Make you think something's gonna happen.
You know, once again, I find myself talking about video on the radio. But did you see the photograph? Here it is. We're just a couple of weeks beyond the anniversary of George Bush's strut on the aircraft carrier deck when he made an ass of himself for you know, all of recorded history.
Mm-hmm.
With a mission at combat operations in Iraq have ended. And yet, bang, there it is. What, in the last couple of days, five deferment Dick Cheney made a speech on a carrier deck?
Yes.
Is anybody just, I mean...
And it wasn't an accident. They had to... It was planned that way.
Oh, yeah, with him standing there in front of those, F-18 Hornets or whatever they are, saying that, you know, we will not permit Iran to have a nuclear device. Yeah, that's everything. That's, you know, just one little, you know, rodent hair shy of a declaration of war.
Exactly. It's like they're so worried that they'll be impeached or get out of power. It's
We've let the Pakistanis have a nuclear device. We've let the Indians have a nuclear device. They're not even signed on to the non-proliferation treaty, and we're giving them nuclear technology in exchange for mangoes. We've let the Israelis have a nuclear device. Well, not that they're admitting, but yeah, we did.
Of course they did.
What kind of egomaniacal monsters have we become that we've decided who will and won't have a nuclear device? I mean, I know. Everybody goes, well, see that Bob? He's a big old pacifist. He don't understand that they're crazy in Iran. Well, I do understand. I do understand the tensions over there. I understand them very well, Teresa. I understand that Iran is a Shia nation. I understand that the Muslims in India and Pakistan are Sunni, and virulently so, and would like nothing better than to blow the snot out of Iran. And understanding that, I can see where they'd want a bomb. But at the end of the day, that's still a fallacious argument, because Iran has specifically rejected the notion of a bomb. And the thing with making bombs, you can either enrich uranium from uranium ore, and some itsy bitsy teensy percentage of uranium ore turns out to be the U-235 that you need for the fissile material in a bomb.
It takes a long time to go through that.
Right. Or you bring on a nuclear reactor for civilian purposes, and if you pull the rods for maintenance very frequently, then the whole world knows that you're gathering plutonium-239 for the weapons-grade purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like this is something that would be fairly verifiable. And yet, with no evidence, no nothing, you got Cheney standing on an aircraft carrier deck, screaming that we won't let Iran have a bomb.
Mm-hmm. And what about when North Korea did it openly, taking their fuel rods out of their reactors and that? Bush just did nothing. In the last couple of days, Afghan and Pakistani troops have been blowing each other away across the border.
Yeah, it's not going to get nicer over there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, I don't know Teresa, because you know I sit here and I read responses on, you know, any news story has little poster responses underneath it now, and there's always, you know, a handful of little right wingers saying, you people don't love America, you don't understand that George Bush is trying to protect us from the Turks.
Yeah, like they'll point out what the situation is like. No, see, that's why we have to be there. Like, he created the whole thing. It's just sickening when you just,
you know,
before all this happened.
It's coming out now that 300,000 to 500,000 barrels of Iraqi oil a day may be getting smuggled, stolen. And bless his heart, Bart Kopp's been hollering about this for as long as the war's been going on. They're going to steal the oil. They're going to steal the oil. And he's right. And he pointed out on his page today that there are smuggler oil tankers and smuggler pipelines and smuggler refineries?
Mm-hmm.
We know who's stealing this stuff.
Yeah. Has Condi's tanker been over there lately?
Flying the little skull and crossbones with the very tasteful Ferragamo pumps.
God.
Oh Lord, Teresa, good to hear from you. Thanks for helping me out. I got to go read the story.
See
what you do to me.
I don't know if you used the term down there, but I was gobsmacked when I read that.
That is entering the parlance. You know that's such a good word.
Yeah.
Oh Lord.
It's true. It happened. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Teresa, and have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a break. Got a couple of lines open if you want to jump in and play. 877-443-2366 is the toll-free number. Or on your nickel, if you can spare it, 304-658-5453. Either way is fine by me. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds. And we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Minutes before the hour, and we go straight back to the phones. We're joined by David calling from Maine. Hey, David, what you got for us this evening? Happy Monday.
Good evening, Bob. Well, I have a hell of a story for you, and I would like to say I was going to mention that story, but that's okay.
Which one?
The school shooting. I just thought that was just, you know, those teachers should just be thrown into the county jail immediately, and they should get a lecture for about, and they should also get scared, too. I would literally scare them. But it only figures they're from Tennessee. Well, if you look in your email I just sent you, you're not going to believe it, Bob. But I heard it on the Randy Rhodes Show, and I had to mention it. It's from the nuclear... Now we know what kind of news this is. The Nuclear Information Resource Service. And it says, Bob, a new report finds nuclear weapon materials released to landfills, pathways open for reuse and recycling.
Huh?
Yes.
What?
But wait, listen to the report. Radioactive materials are being released from nuclear weapon facilities to regular landfills and could get into commercial recycling streams.
Are we talking about fissile materials here? I mean, you've read the whole article, right?
I think when it just says nuclear materials, I think that's the thing that concerns me. I don't care if it's fiscal or whatever it is you said. I mean,
no, fissile, the stuff fissile. That makes nuclear bombs go boom.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's probably not that. I mean, I'm guessing that this is probably, you know, they're really, really sensitive about nuclear waste. And but anyways, it says, from nuclear weapons facilities to regular landfills and could get into commercial recycling streams, finds a new report released today by Nuclear Information and Resource Service. The report, Out of Control on Purpose, was commissioned to track if and how the Department of Energy releases some of the radioactive wastes from nuclear bomb production. The report authors, led by Diane DiRigo, NIRS Radioactive Waste Project Director, researched 7 sites in the DOE National Headquarters. The 7 sites were Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Rocky Flats, Colorado, Los Alamos, New Mexico, Mound and Fernald, Ohio, West Valley, New York, and Paducah, Kentucky. People around regular trash landfills will be shocked to learn that radioactive contamination from nuclear weapons production is ending up there, either directly released by DOE or via brokers and processors, DiRigo said. Just as ominous, the DOE allows and encourages sales and donations of some radioactively contaminated materials. The reports track the law, guidance, and technical justifications that DOA uses to rationalize allowing radioactive scrap, concrete, equipment, asphalt, plastic, wood, chemicals, soil, and more out to landfills, commercial businesses and recreation areas, recycling and reuse in places unprepared to handle radioactivity. Applauding DOE's ban on recycling of radioactive metal from nuclear weapons, the report cautions there are loopholes and it is again threatened. So it goes on.
I'm reading this. This is just astonishing.
You know, Bob, now it's time to, first of all, everybody should bookmark this site at NIRS.org and thank them profusely for their work if this happens to be true. I'm just that skeptical. I hope they don't take that personal. But I'm skeptical about every press release.
You have to be.
I know. This is.
I mean, let's be straight about something here.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical of press releases, the few that I get, from our side.
Oh, I'm skeptical of stuff on TPM Muckraker. I'm skeptical of, you know, just everywhere.
But
it doesn't
matter
how credible the person is or not.
But see, that makes us more credible because skepticism is a large component of journalism. Now, we're not practicing journalism, but about 9 times out of 10, we do journalism better than the so-called professional journalists because we are skeptical.
Right.
How many times did the mainstream professional media, TV 13 in Busted Knuckle Junction has ace crack reporter Andrea whatever in Washington, D.C. to tell us about, and it turns out it's a canned press release by a PR firm working for a Bush administration, the Department of Health and Human Resources or whatever.
Well, you know, Bob, one of the things I would do is I would definitely call these two people and I would say to have them on your show.
Yeah, this is a good idea. I'm going to keep this story up, God willing. And
I think you should put those two people who put this story together and find out more and more about it before, you know, anyone else jumps on it or whatever. But, I mean, I just heard on Randy Rhodes and the woman I was like, oh, this woman's kind of crazy. She was just talking about, I thought she meant, you know, medical waste. But see, that's something that we should pay attention to, too. We are so desensitized, instead of the hypersensitive, like I was talking last week, we are so desensitized, we say, oh, just medical waste. That's all it is.
Hey, you know what? I got injected with some of that medical waste stuff last week.
Really?
And then it was for the stress test. You know, the radioactive isotope. I forget what it was.
Right.
They used to use thallium. They don't use it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the nurse there that was injecting me said, by the way, we're required to tell everyone we give this to, do not go near an airport. And she wasn't kidding, David. She said, if you go near an airport or try to board an aircraft, they will take you off the aircraft and everybody on the aircraft with you, and they'll all hate you.
How about this little quote right
because
here?
Because once you've had those tests, you set off Geiger counters.
I don't doubt it. I mean, that's where we're at where it comes to making chemicals and creating a lot of radioactive and poisonous toxic substances. Anyways, it goes on to say, under the current system, the DOE and other nuclear waste generators release material directly. get this, Bob, sell them at auction or through exchanges or send their waste to processors who can then release it from radioactive controls to landfills, to recyclers, or for reuse. You know, that right there...
What do I hear for this lot of for radioactive metals?
That right there alone should be outrage. I mean, Lou Dobbs should jump on this story, buddy.
Well, if Mexicans were doing the auctioneering,
oh, yeah,
he would.
If Mexicans were doing it. Or if crazy leftists.
Yeah, because God knows there's so many of those.
Right. I mean, they're just all over the place. You know, the other subject I was going to mention, and I hope you do contact these people. And,
I will.
And then we can talk to them directly or whatever and ask questions, because I'm really interested in how the system of, what would you call it, radioactive waste laundering works. I mean, that's just so sickening. It's just a visual that you puts in your head, you know? And you're like, oh, my God. I don't want to think about that.
No, but by the well,
I mean, but I've been desensitized of nuclear waste in our pop culture. I mean, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they had radioactive waste dumped on them,
and it just made them better turtles. Yeah, made them better turtles.
For Christ's sake, one became a surfer dude, and he was named Michelangelo, and then another one was an inventor. Donatello.
Well, see, Donatello was always my favorite.
Yeah, I think they messed up by putting Michelangelo as a surfer dude. I bet you the writers couldn't figure it out, the comic book writers. Like, how do we make Michelangelo?
Yeah, I wondered when I came home from the radioactive stress test the other day if I would have a terrible craving for pizza.
Yeah.
Cowabunga, you know?
I really don't know what to say like at this, and I'm not even going to put my name on it or anything. I'm just bringing it attention. If everyone wants to bookmark it, again, it's NIRS.org. And you'll see it in the press release on the front page. It just got released today.
NIRS.org.
Yeah.
/press.
And I would suggest people bookmark this, because in the future I'm guessing they're going to have a lot more of this stuff. Or waste. However you might say it.
Yeah, you're working the edges there.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to mention was I really like that Bill Moyers special on the Regent University.
That was amazing.
But you know what really kind of scared me, Bob?
What?
Was the guy he had on afterwards. And I'll tell you why Nick Gillespie scared me. He didn't scare me literally, but what I mean is he scared me in the thing that how could someone think like that? And he really believes that national health care and the free market system, even though he was saying a lot of intelligent things, this is where, you know, I just can't believe it. The free market system and the national health care system, there is no facts or evidence that it's working. And I hate when people say that, because it's like they actually researched it. No, you didn't. You know, Bob, I did some research on that guy, Nick Gillespie.
Mm-hmm.
And guess where his earlier writing jobs were?
I hesitate to ask.
Oh God, Bob! I mean, I for credibility, how about the Teen Machine? He did he ghost wrote for Alyssa Milano. I'm not kidding you. He ghost wrote for Alyssa Milano.
Oh no! It's too early in the evening.
Yes, that's the guy that Bill Moyers had on. I'm thinking, wow, Bill Moyers is being nice when the free markets question comes up, and that's how savvy they are. I mean, I hope libertarians are listening, because there is no evidence that the free market system is helping people. I hate when people say that. I hate it, because...
Why, it puts everybody on an even playing field, David, where we've all got the same chance to grab our bootstraps and haul ourselves up.
You know, I went to the Reason Magazine website, because I've never actually delved into it. But I looked, and I saw something, a common link to the users on Free Republic... into the users on Reason. And the thing that I notice most is people that are low income, they call them pariah, parasites, leeches. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's so disgraceful that I wanted to jump in there and say, you know, I really hope that none of you are ever put in a situation where you just totally lose everything, get ravaged by everything because of someone goes into a cancer or a situation that's deathly ill with high medical bills and you don't have the insurance to properly pay for it.
All you have to do is take the barest, tiniest look, and this is proof of what the libertarians and the right-wingers and the conservative Christians and the Republican in general, how they live their lives. All you have to do is open your eyes for just a flickering second and take a hard look at what's happening to America. The free market, the unrestricted laissez-faire capitalism is not working for ordinary Americans.
You know, these people are insane. That might have worked during the Braveheart era, but, I mean, we're in the 21st century, for God's sakes. Do you know how many people there are in this world? You can't just have everybody having everything. What kind of craziness is that?
We can have it all. We can have it all.
Exactly, and they keep teaching that, and I'm like, you know, it would be really, I guess what's going to have to really happen is people are going to have to grab their digital cameras, and they're going to have to just talk to regular people, and it's just going to have to be this constant stream of things to counter this, because, believe me, nobody seems to take this up when the free market says there is no evidence, and it's just such a lie. It's such a goddamn lie. I mean, and there's no way to say, and you know, when you get them on the program, you can't just say, well, you're a goddamn liar, because then you'd be disrespectful.
Yeah, well, see, we've got to have civility of
discourse. Yeah, we got to have civility, and, you know, this goes into the other area that I was going to talk about. Did you happen to see Family Guy?
No, I did. I saw the clip with Olbermann, but I got to roll on. We're at news time.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll catch you tomorrow, and we'll talk about that.
All right, sounds good, David.
All right, Bob. Later.
Later. We'll be back with lots more. And I've got the Tennessee story now. Ouch. News is next. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq, 4,000 U.S. forces are searching South Baghdad house by house in an attempt to rescue three U.S. soldiers reportedly kidnapped by al-Qaeda. The group that claims to be holding the soldiers has demanded the U.S. halt their search or it will not guarantee the safety of the captured troops. Four U.S. servicemen were killed in three separate incidents in Baghdad, two in small arms attacks. The others died due to roadside bombs. Clashes on the Afghan-Pakistan border this morning killed six Afghan soldiers and seven children. Another 28 were wounded. The fighting was the worst seen there in recent years. Reuters and Al Jazeera report that during a meeting today to discuss that border skirmish, a Pakistani officer gunned down two U.S. soldiers, wounding two Americans and an Afghani. Afghan officials say U.S. soldiers returned fire, killing several Pakistani troops. And Agence France-Presse reports Iraq's interior ministry has banned news cameras from recording scenes of bomb attacks. The press agency says the ban is the latest Iraqi attempt to minimize coverage of the country's sectarian violence. In Islamabad this morning, assassins broke into the home of a top Supreme Court judge, killing him. Attorneys in the country have led polarizing riots over the last few days that have led to several deaths. They're protesting the government's dismissal of the country's chief judge. And in California, firefighters say they expect to have the fire on Santa Catalina Island under control by tomorrow. In Minnesota, a storm forecast for today may bring rain that will help firefighters there as they battle a huge blaze. However, they say they're worried the weather will also bring high winds. Officials are investigating what caused an Alaskan cruise ship to run aground outside of Juneau. 280 passengers and crew were evacuated and transferred onto Coast Guard and civilian boats. No injuries have been reported. And for the first time, an American city has made it a criminal offense for landlords to rent to illegal immigrants. Farmers Branch, a town outside of Dallas, will fine property owners $500 if their renters are not in the U.S. legally. Authorities in southern Russia are investigating a bomb blast that killed 10 last night in a cafe. The explosion destroyed the building in the city of Orsk near the Kazakhstan border. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business.
Attention business owners. Getting new customers is now just one click away. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, you got us. It's actually two clicks away with the new MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com is more than an online Yellow Pages. It's an interactive gateway that connects customers with your business, all in just two clicks. Why continue to pay thousands of dollars on an antique advertising medium, especially one that ends up going into the recycling bin? Make the smart upgrade at only a fraction of the cost. Try for yourself. MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com will put your business in the radar of thousands of potential customers. They'll be able to make reservations online, even print out the map with directions, all in just two clicks. Call 1-800-505-1883 today to find out more about this great new service. The sooner you do, the faster your cash register will start to ring. The number again is 1-800-505-1883. MyLocalYP.com.
Daimler Chrysler has agreed to sell 80% of its troubled Chrysler unit to U.S. private equity firm Cerberus for $7.4 billion. Chrysler lost $1.5 billion last year. Its restructuring means the loss of 13,000 jobs. Legislation has been introduced in the New Jersey Senate mandating that pregnant women be tested for HIV twice during pregnancy. In addition, all newborns would also be tested for the virus that causes AIDS. Increased U.S. postal rates go into effect today. A first-class stamp now costs 41 cents. That's an increase of 2 cents. The Postal Service is offering a way to save on postage by selling forever stamps that will remain valid despite future postage hikes. And for the first time in 7 months, U.S. retail sales fell 0.2%. Analysts say soaring fuel prices are dampening consumer spending on other items. The U.S. Insurance Safety Agency today reported crash tests show the safest vehicles in America are the Acura MDX SUV and the 2008 Ford Mercury Sable and Taurus. And light sweet crude is trading at $62.46 a barrel right now. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials closed up 21 points. The NASDAQ was down 16 and the S&P down 3. There's more at Quality News Network.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Another high-quality hour of conversation radio is on its way to you. I'm Bob Kincaid. All right, before my host computer over here, the one that I use during the show, melts down on me again, I've got one for you. You want a little? How about a little dose of outrage? This is a so-called immigration case. Now you remember when we're 13 days and counting, and still no one has demanded an apology from that weird right-wing freak Dana Rohrabacher from Orange County, California, who wished another 9/11 on Americans. He did. There's no getting around it. That's not what I meant. Yeah, it is. You said it. We've got the audio. He most assuredly did say it. Well, I hope it happens to you. That's what he said. But he, in the course of saying that, he was defending the process of American authorities stealing, kidnapping innocent people and stuffing them in secret torture prisons. Of course, the torture boy Gonzalez was asked about that on Thursday, and I really hadn't given it any thought. Holy cow. Well, see, that happens inside and outside the United States. It's just astonishing. In this particular instance, this story was carried on the National People's Radio. I'm sorry, National Public Radio. And it concerns an individual by the name of Raymond Sooth. S-O-E-O-T-H. He is an Indonesian. He came to the United States in 1999 to flee what he called religious persecution. He is a Christian minister. However, back on December 7, 2004, immigration agents informed him that he was due to be deported. I guess he'd lost his appeal or something, or I don't know. Maybe he didn't give enough money to the Southern Baptist Church or James Dobson, Jerry Falwell. I mean, you know, there's a price to pay. So he was obviously upset by this. And, you know, they arrested him and put him in a cell, this minister of the gospel. Curiously quiet is the Southern Baptist Convention on this issue. I haven't seen any American Family Association action alerts on this either. You'd think they would be screaming religious, we're being Christians being persecuted. But no, see, it's the Bush administration doing it. So these tools of the Bush administration just remain as quiet as the grave. So this minister, and I really don't want to butcher his name, Sioth is what I'll call him. At one point in time, two guards and a medic came into his cell, and they told him he needed something to relax him for his trip back home to Indonesia. Needed something to relax him. You need to relax. Everything's going to be okay, Reverend. You need to relax. And they forcibly ripped down his pants and jammed a needle full of Haldol into his butt. Okay, everybody, raise your hand if you know what Haldol is. You know, for relaxation purposes, you get a little bit of Valium, maybe a little bit of Klonopin. Haldol is for psychosis. And so they took, you know, because once the, you know, I don't care what kind of superhero you are. Once you get a load of Thorazine or Haldol, you're done. I mean, you just turn into a wet sack of cement. And so they carried him off to the airport to sneak him away. Airline officials, however, put a stop to it because the immigration officials didn't have their paperwork right. Your papieren bitte? Your papers are not in order. And that's all that stopped them. And the thing is, they have the government medical records now, and it proves that they were drugged. And going back to the way I introduced the segment, you've got to remember or think back. I know how hard it is. I know how this stuff just piles up and piles up, and you're like, oh, yeah, right. When we were kidnapping goat herders in Afghanistan for shipment to Guantanamo, remember that? We had, what, a $5,000 bounty? That guy's rocky hillside is better than my rocky hillside. I want his rocky hillside. So he literally he drops the dime on his neighbor and gets him kidnapped and gets a $5,000 bonus in the process. Well, dude that got kidnapped would be taken, stripped of his clothing, injected with drugs, have a Depend stuck on him, and be chained into the belly of a C-130 cargo plane for the trip to Guantanamo.
Can you imagine? You don't have to imagine. It's fact. You paid for it, you taxpayer, you. You paid for that. Part of this doesn't make sense, though. I mean, they're obviously willing to use something like Haldol, something like Thorazine, various and sundry other. Why, then, do we have to have the torture at Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib and places elsewhere? There are literally drugs out there in which you cannot help. You will spill your guts. You will tell them whatever it is you know, and you will not remember telling them. I mean, it's not James Bond. It's not made up. Those drugs really exist. And apparently, from stories like this, we know that they're willing to use some of them. So then you have to ask yourself why it's necessary to use the blaring loud music, the so-called forced stress positions, where you're shackled to your cell, the bars of your cell door, or kept soaking wet in a 50-degree room, or why a woman has to walk in and wipe what is supposedly a soiled sanitary napkin across the prisoner's face. You have to ask why that is necessary. Again, it's been proven they're using the high-tech brain drain drugs. A little dose of Versed, a little of this, a little of that, and you'll sing like a bird. Why do we need to do the torture? I don't like the answer any better than you do, but I know what the answer is. Because it's fun. Because they like to do it. Because it makes them feel good and tough and patriotic and macho. Even the female interrogators get to feel macho. Because it's fun. Because they can. Ha ha! Look at that! We made a pyramid for it. Made us a pyramid of Hodges. Dang, that's funny. I don't care what you think. That's funny. We do it because we can. No information to be gained. No good to be had out of it. But somewhere along the way, some psychologist or psychiatrist deep in the bowels of the Pentagon and high up relatively in the food chain has said, if these people are returned to their homes and they are told this is what was done to them, they will fear us, and better that they should fear us than respect us. Wait, that came from somebody else, didn't it? I don't care if they like me as long as they fear me. Gosh, that wasn't George Washington, was it? How would you feel? Two officers grabbed my legs. Two officers grabbed my hands. Then they opened my pants. And then I said, why are you guys doing this to me? And I was crying and crying. And I said, why? I'm not an animal. Then the medic injected him in the buttocks. According to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement medical records, he was injected with Haldol. And it says a physician prescribed Haldol because he threatened to kill himself if he was deported. Now see, that's a BS line. Because the Haldol's going to wear off once they get... So he threatened to kill himself if he was deported. So they're going to deport him, the Haldol's going to wear off, and then he's going to kill himself, and it's not our problem anymore? Is that what they're saying? No, that is a lie. The Haldol was used solely and exclusively as a chemical restraint. You know about chemical restraints, I'm sure. They're better than physical restraints any day of the week. Because you can't do anything about a chemical restraint. And it's pathetic. It's just pathetic. I've been in nursing homes and seen old folks all Haldol'd up. you know, because they're a problem if they're not medicated. Haldol is a drug that is used for the warehousing of human beings. God. And we pay for it. I wasn't kidding. We pay for it. We'll take a break and come back. What do you think about that? What would you do if you found out someone you love had been involuntarily drugged out of his mind by this government? How would you feel about America? Anybody want to sing the national anthem? This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
This is a message from NoMoreVictims.org.
In the spirit of Mother's Day and its origin, you can help a child this year by donating to No More Victims as a gift to your mother this Mother's Day. No More Victims brings war-injured Iraqi children to the United States to receive the medical treatment they need. You will help bring Sally, who lost both of her legs in the war in Iraq.
My mother used to say all the time, I look after people's kids because one day I know somebody will look after my kids. I feed people's kids because I know somebody one day will feed my kids. That informs a lot of who I am as a mother. That I know that I'm not only parenting Mavis and Duncan, but I'm responsible for every child that comes through.
Honor your mother. Go to nomorevictims.org. Give today.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II, that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Telling me that I should get some.
doesn't sleep, because tomorrow might be good for something. Hold on, feeling like I'm headed for a breakdown, and I don't know.
Yeah, ain't we all? Welcome back. 26 minutes after the hour, and I think about that last story, and it I don't know. How do you catalog the emotions that shame? Now look, I'm not changing my positions on anything. I don't think there are many things more useless on planet Earth than somebody who spends his life with his hand out asking the faithful to take guidance from him about what the invisible critter has to say. But here's this guy. Flees Indonesia in 2004 on a basis of religious persecution. He is a so-called Christian minister, right? So far, so good. He comes here, and he's here for a couple of years, and then he gets deported. And he's locked away in a cell because why? Oh, he'll run off and we'll never find him again, and he'll be right here in America, and then we couldn't deport him. Oh, he was a member of an Al Qaeda splinter cell. That's it. He was masquerading as a Christian minister. Sorry. Don't buy it. Of course, that's not alleged either. And there it is. You and I paid for it. We paid for this man to be injected with Haldol so that he could be taken aboard an airplane against his will. Because, see, he was a problem. If they would have had to, like, get a tennis ball and duct tape or something to keep him from screaming and wailing and bawling and crying as he was put on board an aircraft and sent back to Indonesia. And, you know, it makes the other plane passengers a little bit nervous. And one of those corporate Gulfstream jets that the CIA is fond of using apparently wasn't available at the time. So instead, they used a chemical restraint. And I mean, you know, the folks who enjoy better living through chemistry even would tell you that Haldol was a good time, because it literally just, you know, turns your brain to oatmeal. I mean, we're not talking about Bill Hicks laying in the grass having eaten what he called a heroic dose of mushrooms and finding out that everything was part of God. No, no. No, 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 not at all. And, maybe this is why they quit teaching. This goes against the grain of every single thing that I, as a child, as a boy, as a young man, as a young adult, was taught that this country stands for. And I will warrant it goes against the things that the people who were doing that teaching believed.
I checked while I was back down in Alabama to see if my second grade teacher was still alive. She has apparently shuffled off this mortal coil. But what a woman. What a woman. This is the woman who, when the other second graders were getting to go to the bakery and we got a donut, took us on our field trip, and we weren't surprised by any gunman mock-ups. No, we just went to the library and got to go down and see the ancient and significant documents. And we all got our library card that day because Miss Clara Yateman, looked at us and said, "The donut will be gone in a few minutes. The learning is here for the rest of your lives." And she it was, and others like her, who taught me that this was supposed to be a good place. And she and others like her did a magnificent job of it, because this was Alabama, and it was 1970, 1971. And a brutal fight to integrate the schools had taken place, and we little kids never even knew it. Little white kids played alongside little black kids and had all the fun in the world at recess. And we learned alongside each other, and we learned with each other, and we learned from each other, and we never knew of the brutalities of the adults. And the heartbreak and the anguish and the bloodshed that had allowed that to happen. It just seemed, it seemed natural for those little 6 and 7 and 8 year olds. And we got all the stuff about how America was formed, and yeah. I grew up in Alabama, and the Civil War was referred to as the War of Northern Aggression. But what do you want? You can't. Nobody bats a thousand. But nowhere along the way did they tell me that I lived in a country where a minister of the gospel could be taken up by men in dark suits and hustled away to a prison cell to be kept indefinitely until one day other men in other suits would come along and inject his buttocks with mind-mushing drugs so that he could be snuck aboard an airplane and quietly hustled out of the country. Nobody ever said that. And I think that's because they didn't believe it. This was supposedly a good place. This was at that point in time. It was a place that was less than 30 years removed from a battle to fight and to destroy the kinds of governments and kinds of people that did that sort of thing. Now, of course, you know, in early 1970s America, we heard things about, you know, them, the Russians. They're a bunch of atheists. And they do evil things to their people because they're atheists, because they don't have God to guide them. Well, you know what? I guess that part of it was wrong too, because here we are, it's the 14th day of May 2007, and we live in a country that swears that it is guided by the hand of the Almighty, by a president who says his favorite philosopher is Jesus. And immigration agents go into cells and involuntarily incapacitate ministers of the gospel so they can sneak them out of the country. Well, you know, it works for sneaking them out of the country. Into the country, it works for sneaking them out of the country, too. But no,
Look at that. The last line of defense, the bulwark of freedom. Turns out it was the airline. I'm sorry. I don't care how many people you're going to deport, but your paperwork's got to be right or you ain't getting on that airplane. Now you just turn around and go back, and when you got your paperwork right, we'll put your little feller on the airplane and we'll send him to Indonesia like you want to. But not till your paperwork's right. You have got to get right with your paperwork. What we have here is failure to communicate. So, Mr. Seoth will apparently stay in country at least long enough to sue, and we'll pay for that too, because we should. Because is there any way to defend this kind of conduct? Anybody want to try? Anybody want to do your best Dana Perineal or Shoes Don't Match the Bag Tony Snow and explain why it's patriotic to involuntarily incapacitate a minister of the gospel so you can sneak him out of the country? This is scary. This is a terrifying America. Because you know what? I don't think I'm no, this isn't over the top at all. This could happen to you. This could happen to you, someone you love. And unless you get lucky, well, unless the airline says the paperwork isn't in order, you're screwed. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement spokesman Mark Raimondi says sedation is sometimes necessary. Now, I've resisted going to the obvious reference to old Brave New World or 1984, because that's just too easy. Then there was a Senegalese immigrant, Amadou Diouf, he was told by immigration agents that he was going to be deported. A federal court had already given the man a stay of deportation. They took him to the airport anyway. And Diouf asked to speak to the pilot. That really pissed off the government-appointed medical escort and tried to force him into the lavatory of the aircraft. And he took out his bag and held the syringe there. He took the bag out and he took the syringe, Diouf said. At that point, I knew that, you know, they're going to sedate me. Next thing you know, I refused to get inside the lavatory anyway, and I was pushed to the back and wrestled to the ground. And then they jammed the needle into him anyway. But then they were kicked off the plane. He says his legs were so numb that on the way out, he fell down the plane stairs onto the tarmac. His medical records confirm he was administered medication. Is this the... And I'm just asking. Am I just a little bit Pollyanna here? Or is... Did I miss the memo? Were you... And you know, I mean, I absolutely cherish the younger generation of listeners that we do have on this program, and we have several, and I appreciate their time. But to be honest with you, the younger folks, I can't ask you if this is the America that you were promised, because they didn't make that promise to you. I'm talking to that generation that had civics in high school, that had citizenship class in elementary school. That generation that was promised that this was the last best hope of earth, to use Abraham Lincoln's words. Did you believe it? Did you take it seriously? Is this as disgusting to you as it is to me? Do you harbor some hope that it can't happen to you or to someone you love? Do you think that your white skin will save you? Because eventually it won't. Because you see, when fascism takes hold, everyone becomes an enemy of the state, or at least a potential enemy. And even keeping your head down is not sufficient. Because eventually you'll transgress some rule, because somebody else will be in trouble, and they'll palm their troubles off on you. Well, I heard it from him or her. And the next thing you know, the men in the dark suits are at your door. By the way, owning guns isn't going to help you either, because when they come through the door, you might get one, but they'll get you. And you probably won't get one, because they're all going to be wearing high-tech vests that we can't afford to send to the soldiers in Iraq, but we can give to the stormtroopers who deal with bad Americans. The 92-year-old granny that got blown the hell away in Atlanta. We talked about this last week. She shot at him, but she didn't hurt him. They were all vested up. Armor up! But they hit her. Then they tried to plant some dope on her to make it look like they were on a legitimate bust. So, I mean, that's a, you know, the U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement spokesman Mark Raimondi, you know, how does this sleazy bastard get up and go to work in the morning? I don't know. Says, first there would be an attempt to do verbal counseling to get the detainee to comply and calm down. If that failed, the attempt would be to do physical constraints. If that failed, then as a last resort, a sedative could be administered. Jesus. I wish I was... Then there's my brain that's... Gene Wilder. Set a give! A minister of the gospel drugged. Just kind of makes your little brain hurt, doesn't it? Does mine. All right. Break time. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. Hey, ring it up if you want to. 877-443-2366, 304-658-5453. I'm Bob.
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. Well, I watched the world go to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do. After all I knew.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Dominatrix.
Is this for the with the black nurses out instead of the white black nurses with the and the syringe and your medicine is ready?
It's where these people take me. They take me to that dark place. I don't like being there.
I know.
I like being all sunny and happy.
Where I come from, we ride humans like ponies. I know.
That's right, with chains.
Careful, this is a family-oriented program, Agnes. Can I have some can I have some gain on my mic? Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. Okay. Here's the way the teacher thing in Murfreesboro works out. It's all a big misunderstanding. Right. 69 sixth graders were taken on a week-long field trip, a camping trip, to Falls
Fall Creek Falls State Park. Boy, I tell you what, you can't beat the originality in the naming, can you? Fall Creek Falls. Run, Spot, Run State Park. Yeah, Fall Creek Falls State Park. And it was there as part of the camping trip that the teachers turned out all the lights and said they'd just gotten a call that there were random shootings going around the park. At which point, a lot of those 69-year-old sixth graders came absolutely unglued. Now, that's... okay, so that's step one. According to a link I've received to the Nashville newspaper, the Tennessean, the school board is now saying it was all a prank. It was a camping trip, for the love of God. They'd been told they was going to get a prank pulled on them, and it was a prank. Now, it was all in good fun. Some of them got up when it was over with, and they high-fived each other, and they said, "Oh, y'all sure got us that time." I tell you what, that's funny. I don't care what you think. And if it's being characterized as poor judgment. And that it is. It's also incredibly lacking in insight. Because we all, you know, okay, most of us, many of us, I won't say most, many of us, have been through, to one degree or another, the campfire ghost story thing, or maybe it was as a little you were a little girl and it was the slumber party ghost story thing, and everybody holds the flashlights and ooh, it's scary. Who's got my golden arm? You do. And everybody screams. Okay. But in a country that fetishizes weapons, in a country that reveres weapons to the point that it makes a deal with the devil that says, you know, we're going to have a Virginia Tech or a Columbine every few years, because the ability to own guns is more important than being able to see your children all the way to adulthood. And, you know, just less, you know, a month or less after a guy armed to the teeth has quietly gone about the business of shooting up a university campus, shooting two people in one place, and then walking a half a mile or more to shoot 28 more, kill 28 more. These children, these sixth graders, are raised in an unforgiving media culture where you find out, where they find out all of that, and they know about it. And they know, look, it's not, and even if they didn't watch any TV, read no newspapers, heard no radio, they would still know about it because of the way the schools themselves respond. You know what I mean? So they know all this. This is the past that is prologue to their experience. And so you've got these teachers who apparently, according to the Tennessee and according to the school board, told them all week long, be ready for a big prank at the end. We're going to play a prank on you. It's going to be funny. We're going to prank you. And their prank was to tell all 69 students gone camping to turn out their lights and get on the ground, because they'd had reports that men with guns were going around Fall Creek Falls State Park shooting people. Now, boring literary moment. It was Samuel Taylor Coleridge,
who introduced and coined the phrase the willing suspension of disbelief. It goes on every time you go to see a horror movie. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Episode 72. Ring 16. Because you sit there and you know this is all BS. But you get out of it the same thing that the ancient Greeks got, sitting in the amphitheater watching Oedipus find out that he's been doing his own mama for all these years and killed his own daddy. And when he finds out, he runs and plucks out his eyeballs and, you know. Horror. And everybody comes out and feels better. Because you've just had a cathartic release. And that's what goes on with and there was this man. He was a very rich man. And he'd lost an arm. And he was so rich, he had an arm made of solid gold. And he told them that when he died, that they'd best bury him with his solid gold arm, or he'd come a-looking for whoever had it. And he hadn't been in the dirt for no time at all. And somebody stole his golden arm. Do you know the story goes back to Mark Twain's childhood? The story of the stolen golden arm formed a big part of his literary style. He called it a snapper. And everybody realizes that nobody has an arm made of solid gold. But you willingly suspend disbelief for the little adrenal shock that you get at the snap of the story. You've got it! But see, that's the difference between the story of the golden arm, that kind of a campfire this ghost story prank, and what these teachers did in Tennessee. Because there aren't any men with golden arms. But in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, thanks to people like the NRA, there are lots of crazy, violent, angry, hateful people with guns, and they like to shoot little children. And that, therein, lies the difference. Who's got my golden 44 Magnum? I do, and I'm going to blow your brains out, Johnny! You can't willingly suspend disbelief on that because our culture demands that you believe it because it is real. In America, children get killed in gun violence every year. 10,000 Americans die from gun violence every year. I can't... Like I said, I'm glad it didn't happen in West Virginia. Glad it didn't happen to me. I'd have to tackle Agnes in the yard like I've had to do a couple of times to stop her from... Share your thoughts. The phone lines are open. We've got another hour to go. 877-443-2366 or 304-658-5453. Your choice. Get on the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network.
U.S. Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty has announced his resignation after 8 years at the Justice Department. He cited personal reasons for his departure. McNulty testified in February before a committee looking into Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's firing of 8 federal prosecutors. McNulty testified they were let go for performance issues, not political reasons. In Iraq, 4,000 U.S. forces are searching South Baghdad house by house in an attempt to rescue 3 U.S. soldiers reportedly kidnapped by al-Qaeda. The group that claims to be holding the soldiers has demanded the U.S. halt their search or it will not guarantee the safety of the captured troops. 4 U.S. servicemen were killed in 3 separate incidents in Baghdad, 2 in small arms attacks. The others died due to roadside bombs. Clashes on the Afghan-Pakistan border this morning killed 6 Afghan soldiers and 7 children. Another 28 were wounded. The fighting was the worst seen there in recent years. Reuters and Al Jazeera report that during a meeting today to discuss that border skirmish, a Pakistani army officer gunned down 2 U.S. soldiers, wounding 2 more. Afghan officials say U.S. soldiers returned fire, killing several Pakistani troops. AFP reports Iraq's Interior Ministry has banned news cameras from recording scenes of bomb attacks. The press agency says the ban is the latest Iraqi attempt to minimize coverage of the country's sectarian violence. And the Palestinian Interior Minister resigned today after a deadly weekend of fighting between rival factions Hamas and Fatah. It is a step back for the young government set up in mid-March specifically as a power-sharing vehicle to end the infighting. The unity government has launched a security crackdown. In California, firefighters say they expect to have the fire on Santa Catalina Island under control by tomorrow. Officials are investigating what caused an Alaskan cruise ship to run aground outside of Juneau. 280 passengers and crew were evacuated and transferred onto Coast Guard and civilian boats. No injuries have been reported. And for the first time, an American city has made it a criminal offense for landlords to rent to illegal immigrants. Farmers Branch, a town outside of Dallas, will fine property owners $500 if their renters are not in the U.S. legally. This is QNN.
Hulhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking. I just wonder why you think it's important to bank in a local bank.
Because it's here in our community, in our area, and we tend to find that they have the best service for us. They are always there when we need them.
Do you like the idea that it's a local bank with big bank services and benefits?
You get all the benefits of the big banks, but you walk in, people know who you are.
Yeah. Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Absolutely. They have the resources, but of course the personal touch of a local bank.
I am here once a week, yes.
Taking money out.
Taking money out and putting it in and taking it out.
So you're doing a lot of banking in here.
I carry it in wheelbarrow.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Daimler Chrysler has said it will sell 80% of its troubled Chrysler unit to U.S. private equity firm Cerberus for $7.41 billion. Chrysler lost $1.5 billion last year. Its restructuring means the loss of 13,000 jobs. Increased U.S. postal rates go into effect today. A first-class stamp now costs 41 cents. That's an increase of 2 cents. Legislation has been introduced in New Jersey Senate mandating pregnant women be tested for HIV twice during pregnancy. In addition, all newborns would also be tested for the virus that causes AIDS. In the White House Rose Garden today, President Bush ordered federal agencies to find a way to regulate automobile emissions by the time he leaves office in early 2009. The move comes on the heels of U.S. High Court ruling last month that the EPA has the power to regulate air quality under the Clean Air Act. President Bush has supported voluntary curbing of emissions because regulations could hamper economic growth. Chevron has begun shutting down its oil facilities in Nigeria following increased violence and kidnapping in the country. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.46 a barrel at the close of Wall Street today. The Dow Jones closed up 21 points. The NASDAQ was down 16. The S&P down 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Am I the only one that, on whom the irony is not lost about the name of the private equity firm that is purchasing the Chrysler part of Daimler Chrysler? After its little adventure, Daimler no longer wants to have Chrysler. It's going to go back and happily be Daimler AG, and it's going to make Mercedes-Benzes and quit being dragged down by Chrysler, because, you see, that's the in Germany, people who work for Daimler AG are paid good wages. They're union jobs, and Daimler doesn't have to pay health care, because the Germans, bless their hearts, recognize that health care for the citizenry is a matter of right. For instance, all that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness business in our documentation, our historical documents. Those poor people. Agnes and I, after 14 years, the brain cells just do all the... I don't know. It's like something out of a ballet. But anyway, our historical documents reference life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you can't have life, and your liberty doesn't mean much, and you're not going to pursue a whole lot of happiness if you're not physically able to do so. So health care should be a matter of right in this country. But, you know, try to tell that to an insurance company executive or a Republican. Healthcare, right? What are you, some kind of communist? But anyway, so Daimler is going to let go, pull the millstone out from around its neck, get the albatross away from it, and Chrysler basically paid $700 million, if you read the gory details on this story. Daimler AG paid $700 million to get Cerberus to purchase Chrysler. What did they say on QNN? It's going to cost 13,000 jobs. Amazing, simply amazing. But I digress and I wander. Am I the only one on whom the irony of the name of that company is not lost? Now, I have, over the course of the broadcast day, heard Cerberus pronounced 9 different ways. I guess the best ancient Greek pronunciation would be Kerberos, or something close. I don't know. Maybe our good friend Eugene Finnerman could. I don't know if he had ancient Greek or not. But Kerberos, or Cerberus, was the three-headed dog. Really big dog with the tail of a serpent and, I don't know, maybe wings of a dragon, too. Depends on which myth you're reading, you know. See, we can call those myths because they're not in the Bible. We can't call what's in the Bible myths. But anyway, Cerberus guarded the gates of Hades, which, of course, was the place where the Greeks believed the dead went. All the dead. Not just the bad ones. All the dead. It was sort of a warehouse for dead souls. Hercules liberated Theseus, I believe. But Cerberus guarded the entrance to Hades. And it was sort of like... Hades was sort of like the Hotel California. You know, you can check out any time you want, but you can never leave. Cerberus would make sure that critters could get in. You know, it was like the Roach Motel. You know, the souls go in, but they never come out. So, you know, this is one of those private equity venture capital firms, and I wonder. You know, I noticed the irony of it, because I've got that great public school education followed up by a decent state college education. Not to mention having sat around a few rainy Sundays as a kid with Edith Hamilton's mythology. And I can't help but wonder
if eventually the big three are going to become the big two, if this isn't the death knell of Chrysler, which is sad on so many different levels. In other words, by their purchase, Chrysler is being led into Hades. Yeah. And it can go in, but it can never come out. When did the Dodge brothers start building automobiles? When did the Chrysler Corporation come into existence? Gosh, is the University of Michigan going to have to change the name of is it going to be Cerberus Stadium now? Is that the University of Michigan Stadium, or is that where they play basketball, the Chrysler facility? So, all of that because America, and look, it's happening at Ford, it's happening at GM, it happened at Delphi. What was the last number that was commonly bruited about? That every American, so-called American-made car, because after all, they're assembled in Canada, they're assembled in Mexico, Kuala Lumpur, whatever. But, you know, we call them American-made. That every American automobile has $1,300 extra dollars built into the price, because that is the price that we pay for health care. And I would not suggest my God, I want all Americans to have good health care. I want to know that there's decent health care in my children's future, because they carry some genetic stuff that could be problems to them down the road. I try to talk with them honestly and openly and say, odds are you're going to have cholesterol problems down the road. You may as well learn to start eating right now. Get out, run, be active. There's diabetes in your background. Hey, can I have another can of pop? No! Learn to read the labels. High fructose corn. I want them to... What was it, a year or two ago, Toyota decided to build this mammoth new plant, and they built it in Canada, and they told the world that they were building it in Canada because Canada had the common good sense and human decency to provide health care for all its citizens. And meanwhile, we shamble along. Well, see, we can't get... Now, free market economics says that can't everybody go to the doctor if they want to go to the doctor. That'd be communism. Jesus! Makes me crazy! Cerberus. Guardian at the gates to hell. Really does make ironic good sense, doesn't it? All right, let's go to the phones. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I tell you what, been some good reading today. I tell you, I sent you the thing from Bill Berkowitz over at Working for Change.
Yeah, having a hard look at the American Family Association.
Dr. Donald Wildemond.
Yeah.
Anybody ever wants to know something about it, go read that. It'll give you a wonderful thing. Of course, I wouldn't eat right before it because you might lose that or might have some nightmares tonight, but you know how that goes.
Well, I guess there's a part of America, Luke, that finds Donald Wildemond sort of exotic and you know, really? In America, people like that?
Well, like I say, there's the Klan and a few others. You know how it is.
Yeah, and then there's Donald Wildemond.
Well, yeah, you saw the thing. I'm sure you brought it up, but the thing, I was amazing how you still haven't seen too much anybody talking about Mr. Poe.
No. No, all him or Rohrabacher.
That's what it's just sort of like. Oh, I tell you what, you know, the one I think I loved though was Frank Rich's column, "Earth the GOP, the Gipper is dead."
Yeah.
You know, it's like we said when
they how many times did they mention him in the debate? 19. And Bush got mentioned once, and that was negative.
Well, he got mentioned like three times, but I think two of them were by Matthews.
Right.
But, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, it's like I was talking to Agnes, you know, and we were talking about when he when Reagan died. You know, it's like, say, they gave him a funeral that's bigger than the Pope's. It lasted longer.
It wouldn't go away.
I was telling her, I said, I remember when I called you about it, I said, you know, open the casket, at the stake, kill him, he's dead, damn it. But, I was sitting there reading that thing for Frank Rich, and you know what, I still think, I wrote it in the message to you when I sent it to you, I still think after the ceremony, when they had the debate, the lights went out, the cameras left, they all got together and tried a few voodoo rituals to see if they could bring him back.
Oh, I know.
I think they figured undead, he was better than what they got.
Well, you know, I, like I said, I thought they were going to dig him up, powder him, and snort him after a while. It was disgusting. Luke, that is proof of a failure on the media's part, a failure of history's part, a failure of on our parts as citizens. There was nothing to recommend that man's presidency.
Well, and the thing of it was, I remember us talking about it, you know, said you could not find one commentator who during the whole 7 days of, oh, God, this slime. You never heard the words Iran-Contra mentioned. You know, you never heard the Republicans will say, well, you all cut and run. I said, well, we learned it from Ronnie. You know, when we left Lebanon.
Yeah, sure. And
on the boat.
Well, get back on the boat.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Because it was Ronnie, and again, failure of history. I don't know who knows this. I'm sure you do. Those Marines who were killed at the barracks in Beirut, they were on ship. They were shipboard, and the entire Joint Chiefs looked at Ronald Reagan and said, listen, we can get them on a helicopter at a moment's notice. They can be to whatever hot spot they need to get to faster than we can if we've got them on land. Okay, leave them on the ships, Ron. And he said, well, no, we've got to show the flag that America is strong and mighty. And we put them in that stupid barracks and lost 246 Marines because Ronnie wanted to show the flag.
Well, of course. Well, you saw, I'm sitting here watching Oberman right now, and they're showing the thing with Cheney on the boat. At least he didn't let him put any banners up behind him when he was talking this weekend. But if you notice though on this thing with with Darth Cheney, I still would pay good money for somebody to play the theme when he comes out.
Dum dum da dum dum da dum dum da dum da dum. Yeah,
it would be real fun just to see the reaction. But have you noticed that they're all talked about? Oh, he went to see the people in Iraq. Well, nobody's talking a whole lot about when he went over to the Saudis and the UAE after it. And was telling him, you know, y'all got to quit funding the Sunni insurgents. And essentially, from what I understand, he got told no.
We'll fund anybody we you know.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. He can go and he, you know, what are you going to do, Dick? Bomb us? Because see they got all the cards. You know, Dick's sitting there betting with a he's a four flusher. Okay, he's got.
He's got crap, and he's sitting there betting against people with straights.
Yeah.
And you've got a pair of twos, Dick. Now, what are you going to do?
No, he doesn't have a pair. He's a four-flusher. I mean, he's got the 6-8-9 jack queen, or 6-8-9 jack, and he's sitting there betting on the come that he's going to get the seven. And it ain't going to happen because they got all the sevens, and they know it.
One of them's sitting over with 4-7s going, guess what?
Bet, Dick, bet.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, you know, it's like every time you see it, it's like I don't know what the right word is to use, our absent media. It's like, say, did you see the thing this weekend with Greg Palast and Amy Goodman on
the LA thing?
That was good, and then the one after it was pretty good where they were talking about spin, and the lady was up there and they had three or four people up there on the dais, and one on the far one end was Frank Luntz. And the lady up there said, can you see if you can go through the rest of this thing without mentioning Bill Clinton? And you can almost hear him spit.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because...
Well, I saw at Huffington Post today that Ariana took Frank Luntz to task, too.
Well, he was on Martin.
Yeah, right. and spitting out this. Why do people act like Frank Luntz has any sense or any credibility? He's out there repeating this. Democrats can only tell us what they don't like. They're not telling us what they're for. In other words, he wants the Democrats to come out and sound like Republicans. It's morning in America. But by God, Luke, somebody's got to be the reality party.
You know, it's like I say, somebody, and I don't know who it's going to be, and whoever it is, I'm sorry for him because what's going to happen to him? But somewhere in the next year or so, somebody's going to have to come out and say, look, we're screwed probably the next decade at best, probably the next generation, just for getting over what George Bush has done. That, you know, if we're real lucky and we work really hard in a decade, we may be getting out of this. If it's not, it's probably going to be a generation. You know what I mean? If we do. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, look, the reptilians came up here and they've had their 6-8 years, and then we're going to be like they spend the next 20 years cleaning it up. You know, it's the same thing with Clinton. You know, Clinton spent the first 5 years of his thing just cleaning up Ronnie and Pappy Bush's mess.
Yeah.
Whoever gets it down the line, whoever it is, I'm not going to pick one person or the other, but whoever gets it, their first term, hopefully they'll have two terms, their first term is just going to be cleaning up and putting out fires and the whole nine yards. Cause
and bear in mind, their first term is also going to be spent, at least the way that... because, you know, just because George Bush is going away somewhere, I don't know if he's going to live in the United Arab Emirates or Paraguay or where the hell ever. It ain't going to be Crawford. We already know that. That was for publicity purposes only.
Well, a rental ranch will do you, you know.
Yeah, sure. But who they've already made up their minds. I don't want to pass this war on to anybody else, especially not a Democrat. That's bug spray, okay? That's...
You saw the thing today, didn't you, about the thing the EPA and the coal fire plants and all that, and I want that ready by the time I'm ready to leave office.
Yeah, but the point here is, they know that the Republicans are 10 little idiots and really can't stand one on one scrutiny against. I'm sure I'll get email for this, but it's almost a foregone conclusion you're going to get a Democrat in the White House in 2008. And Luke, it's what they want.
Yeah. Well, like I say, for that first 4 years, whoever it is going to have to do some things that's not going to be popular.
It's going to be unpopular, or at least this is the way the Republicans hope they can make it work. To say, well, Hillary lost. You know, George Bush kept trying to win the war, but Hillary lost the war, or Obama lost the war. So that, and I can't repeat this enough, because it is what they. It's the plan. I swear, Luke, it's the plan. 2012, one-term incumbent. Give them the Jimmy Carter treatment, and Jebby Bush becomes president in 2012, and America dies.
I think it would take at least another one, because I think the stupid guy has poisoned the well. Because I don't think in 4 years, but it
never underestimate. Never underestimate.
Oh, I don't. You know, well, you know, it's like the thing. I had it. There went that brain cell.
Yeah. Happens to me all the time.
But, you know, it's some of these things. It's like our erstwhile media. I mean, and don't get me wrong, there's some good people in the media on our, you know, that will say things. But, you know, like I say, the ones who are in power, well, they can't be bothered to tell you the things that are unpopular, because they want to be that rating. They want to tell you the good news, the news that everybody else doesn't want you to hear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're playing the contest, and it's like, look, you saw the thing this week with Bill Moyers' thing.
Mm-hmm.
He did the thing on Regent. My brain cell kicked in. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay.
But like I say, the first year, whoever we get in office, they're going to spend a year just throwing junior executives out of the government.
Yeah.
All these nice Regent lawyers and middle level people that they put in, like the CIA and the Defense Department.
But are they going to be able to
out?
Luke, are they going to be able to throw them out? Because these people aren't in there as political appointees, if I understand correctly. They're in there as civil servants. And trying to get rid of a civil servant with 5 years in, not easy.
Well, congratulations. We're going to pick some of you all. You're going to start working with Planned Parenthood. we're going to pick some of you all. You may work for us, but that don't mean anything because we can reassign you to this.
You're harassing me. You're harassing me. You're persecuting me. I'm a Christian. You're persecuting me.
I mean, have you seen the lawsuit that got filed in Chicago?
Which one?
A child's guardian, not even real parent, has filed a lawsuit in Cook County against a school, a teacher, and a school board because Brokeback Mountain got shown. And the child has required counseling as she has been psychologically damaged by watching that dirty, dirty movie.
Well, you know what's going on, but you don't see nothing, really. You know what I mean?
I've seen the movie. I was thinking about it, Luke, and there's dirtier stuff on the Disney Channel.
Well, it's like, maybe not, but you know what I mean? It's one of those things I can turn on any cable channel and see a lot worse. You know what I mean? And it's sort of like, gang.
Kim Possible is more scantily clad than either of the two cowboys in Brokeback Mountain.
I tell you what, you know, it's one of these things. It's like sometimes you just want to give them a reality test. You know, one of my friends, his favorite saying is, what color is the sky in your world?
Oh, I know.
There's some of them you just really want to get that to them. You know, it's like, you know, how many planets can you see from
But they will play the persecution card all day long. We're going to... I guarantee it. I mean, just get ready for it, because these people are... Oh, God, Luke, it's so far away now, so long ago, 15 years, and I can't believe it. I don't know where it went. But 15 years ago, they were the pigs were already, the minute that Clinton took the oath of office, they had everything in place to attack him. They determined before he was ever sworn in that they were going to take him out of office.
Well, I tell you one thing. Whoever is our hopeful new leader in 2009,
mm-hmm.
whoever works in his press department or whatever it is. I want somebody that will get in the press's face. You know what I mean? I want somebody, that if there's a story, and I want him to stand somebody up there in the press conference and say, why did you sit there and lie about it?
Yeah.
Hold them up. I mean, you know, it's one of those things, just like say, well, we all play the game, you know what I mean? You know, it's like, no, we're not going to play that game. We're playing a new game. You all get to play, it's called Truth. You're not going to like it either.
Oh, but see, the press corps will be there too, and they will take those blast facts. See, this there's institutional stuff at work here, Luke.
Why not?
Because the reason that the press corps was willing to go balls out, for lack of a better term, with Bill Clinton is that the right wing made it easy for them to, with blast faxes, and later on there was email, and every morning, instead of doing journalism, the Washington Press Corps could go and pull off all the press releases from the American Enterprise Institute, and the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and the Heritage Foundation, and the Foundation for a Free America, and yada yada, and the Republican National Committee, and the various PR flacks for members of Republican members of Congress. And
you got to start doing, though, Bob, and that is, whoever the next one is, and when you stand, you go, okay, where'd you get that? And he says, the Heritage Foundation. You say, oh, the same people that told us we were going to be greeted as liberators in Iraq?
Yeah, that bunch of liars?
That bunch of lunatics? You're following their example? I mean, these are people who have trouble, you know, telling you when the sun's up and down and what the difference is.
And the other part of it, Luke, is that we build that machine, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, but like I say, it is one of those things where, like I say, you know, one thing that Clinton did a bit better than some, not as well as he could have, is, you know, a lot of this stuff, you got to have somebody that'll go in there and not looking for a fight, but when somebody says something, they got to go right back at them. You know what I mean? It's like I say, you know, it may get down to the soundbite world. That may be what it is, but every time somebody has something like that, you got to have a full team ready to go.
And you cannot do... and nobody ever told John Kerry this. You know, you can't do a 45-second soundbite.
No. Well, and it's one of those things, and when somebody tells us something, you don't wait a weekend to respond. Okay, you may be traveling. You better have somebody on the ground who can answer for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want somebody, you know, when whoever it is in the air or whatever, I want somebody at the White House in 2009 who can answer a question and who has to hook up my sat phone or whatever, he can say, this is what we're going to say. Bang.
Yeah, be ready.
The plane's landed, the story's already killed.
It would be nice. But then again, all of that was necessitated, Luke, because there was a system in place that could provide all this right-wing filth to journalists and keep them from having to do journalism.
Well, I tell you, it's like I say, one of the people that I think that has done the best job in the last couple of years is David Brock over at Media Matters.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I love this thing where they all said, well, he misrepresented. It's like, look, he'll, over on the right side, he'll have your tape or your film or your recording or whatever, and over on the left side, he will have it in context, so nothing is taken out of context.
Well, you'll notice that nobody, be it Bortz or Flimball or any of those guys, have said, no, see, they manipulated the tape. Here's my tape of what I really said. Because Media Matters and David Brock are straight up on it. And what's more, you know, David Brock has the street cred to do what he did because he was part of that right-wing hit squad. I don't remember how much he got paid by Richard Mellenscaife, but he got paid a lot.
Oh yeah, but it's like I say, I think he's pretty well redeemed himself.
Sure,
respect. But like I say, it's one of those things. That's what we're going to have is people like that who every time something like this comes out before the ink's dry or whatever you want to say, before the cartridge is printed it out on the computer, that we have somebody sitting there already saying, look, here's what you actually said. Now tell everybody about the whole statement. You know, it's like I saw something a while back. They printed something of Obama's, and by the way, they cut it off. And then you didn't read the next line, and the next line was, and that's what it could have been said. But, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's bottom of the hour, bud. Let me let you go to news.
All right, Luke, I always enjoy it. Thanks ever so much.
Alrighty.
Take care.
See you later, Ryan.
Bye. About 28 minutes before the hour, and, you know, we can't talk enough about what what it means to have a functional media on our side of the debate. I mean, I've seen it. I know there are other people who have seen the Republican Party is always ready with an attack. As our good buddy Wayne has noted, Republicans don't take off years. At best, they recognize political realities, lick their wounds, and repackage their garbage for another time after it's had a chance to be forgotten. And Luke and I frequently agree, but he doesn't think that Jeb Bush has a chance in 12. Maybe Jeb Bush doesn't. But I guarantee you, I promise you, that is the plan. Assuming that a Democrat gets into the White House, plan A has to be to make that Democrat a one-term president. Because if they can't get back into power, these reptilicans, these repiglicans, they cannot complete their planned destruction of America. And if that president becomes a two-term president and is reelected in 2012, they may very well be toast. Because 8 years... Oh, wait a minute, Bob, wait a minute. 8 years would seem to be enough to point out everything that went wrong. Of course, and we did. You know, I know, Clinton. He's not progressive enough. He's not liberal enough. He did shine a big light on the excesses and the evils of the Reagan administration and the George H.W. Bush administration. 12 years of utter unmitigated filth and greed and money grubbing. And arguably, they got us back to an even keel, and in a matter of 3 months, the drunken frat boy had broken it again. The Republican Party understands that the next president, if it is a Democrat, if he or she is a Democrat, must be a one-term president. Must be. Because that is the only way you get another Bush into office. And you can bet your last dollar that Barbara, that beast Bush, that woman who potty trained her children at gunpoint, has told Jeb Bush he will, by God,
be president. Or she'll never speak to him again. You know that, don't you? I mean, you can hear it. All right, break time. When we come back, a couple of stories to wind things up. Al-Qaeda giving us orders, and Luke mentioned it. Loans for coal plants. Jesus. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob. In far-off lands, the innocent child, the newborn babe, a mother's hope, all blown away. Voices from the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The following is a Head-On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back! That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
New York has become the most recent state to allow unions to organize home child care providers. Governor Eliot Spitzer signed an executive order on Friday that would allow the organizing of 28,000 home child care providers. Providers are reimbursed by the state for taking care of children in low-income families. The United Federation of Teachers is seeking to organize providers in New York City. Currently, providers in New York City earn on average $19,000 per year. UFT President Randy Weingarten said in a statement, "Any day you can strengthen the lives of 28,000 home daycare providers is a great day." The teachers' union is currently running unopposed for representation in the city.
The AFL-CIO says House Ways and Means Chair Charlie Rangel is to be commended for reaching a trade deal that makes progress on workers' rights on the Peru and Panama free trade agreements. But AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says U.S. trade policy will not be fixed overnight, and Sweeney says the Labor Federation is reserving its final judgment until it's seen these entire agreements. He says trade policies have been broken for decades in the U.S., that they've wiped out millions of jobs and have depressed living standards. Sweeney says the Bush administration has also consistently been unwilling to really enforce labor provisions that already exist in some trade deals. So there's no guarantee that any new rights on paper will be enforced here either. The AFL-CIO agrees with the House Democratic leaders that this breakthrough does not clear the way for other bad trade agreements like the ones currently being considered for Colombia and South Korea. The AFL-CIO says this new agreement doesn't address outsourcing of U.S. jobs, nor does it curb the power of multinational corporations to challenge U.S. laws. The AFL-CIO says trade policy should really serve the interests of working families in the U.S. and around the world.
A hunger strike by 9 Harvard students in support of wage increases for campus security guards has come to an end. After 9 days without food, the students were asked by security guards to end their strike, citing an agreement by the university to issue a statement reaffirming support for workers and to also begin the formation of a committee that would look at the wages and benefits on campus for contract security. The guards work for Allied Barton. The university had announced earlier in the week that it would be auditing the security firm to make sure it is following the Ivy League college's wage and benefit policies. Here is today's economic report. A new study from the Better Sleep Council finds that a lack of decent sleep impacts the quality of work, judgment, and the ability to retain information of employees. According to a survey released to correspond with Better Sleep Month, 44% of respondents said a lack of good sleep also impacts their mood while on the job. As a result of poor sleep, 17% say they will occasionally take a quick nap. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Is that a message, Agnes? Oh, because you're the boss. You are so the boss.
I'm not the boss.
You're the boss. You're the Mary. I'm the Rhoda.
I'm the minor
man. No, you're the Mary. I'm the Rhoda. What the hell do we talk about on this show that isn't disturbing? I'm sorry. You know, I try, but there are days when everything just makes your eyes cross. Al-Qaeda in Iraq tells U.S. end search for 3 soldiers. Now, this is a message delivered without any photographs, thankfully without any pieces of limbs, and it's from Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Because, you know, Al-Qaeda's been in Iraq since, Bill Clinton put them there. I mean, this is all Clinton's fault, right? If you were listening to, and I know you weren't, bless your little hearts, listening to Flesh Flimball today, you would have found out that, among other things, the Fort Dix conspirators, you know, the pizza driver, the cab driver, and the guy who worked stocking shelves at the ShopRite, who couldn't find a machine gun with both hands, until they ran into an FBI informant who said, "Oh, machine guns! I got lots of machine guns." Of course, they're excellent machine guns. They shoot slow on the driveway, shoot fast on the driveway, whatever. Today, Flush Flimball, that's right, blamed the Fort Dix conspiracy, I kid you not, on Bill Clinton. "My friends, he let in all those Kosovar refugees," and blah, 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 blah. Just verbal diarrhea for 3 hours a day. Boggles the mind, doesn't it? So, the Al-Qaeda's it's Bill Clinton's fault. Of course, it's worth remembering that the first Al-Qaeda operative was Ayman al-Zawahiri. No. No, that's not... No, I'm mixing up my... Anyway, come on. And my email's down. This was the dude who had... The one-legged guy that we had video of walking around like he had 2 legs and stuff. That couldn't work the machine gun. The Bush administration was offered a chance to kill him before they started the war with the people of Iraq, and refused that opportunity because they wanted him there as a reason to go to war. And, of course, he made himself the head of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. It's not like he had to send off 2 box tops and get the secret decoder ring from Al-Qaeda secret headquarters. It's more or less one of those, "Hey, I'm one too." And you get to be. So... Pardon my skepticism as I read something like the U.S. military blamed Al-Qaeda on Monday for the abduction of 3 U.S. soldiers in an ambush south of Baghdad. Hey, how about looking at American policy of abducting people and just making them disappear? Wouldn't this tend to mean that they're fighting the war on the terms that we set? Jesus, General Petraeus had to issue a stern lecture to American troops in Iraq telling them to fight nicely now last week. Did you catch that? Sure you did. The soldiers were missing after an attack in a dangerous rural area called the Triangle of Death on Saturday, in which 4 other U.S. soldiers and an Iraqi translator belonging to the same patrol were killed. "We believe they were abducted by terrorists belonging to Al-Qaeda or an affiliated group," the Al-Qaeda Ladies Auxiliary, perhaps. And the assessment is based on highly credible intelligence information. How'd you get the highly credible intelligence information, General? Whose toenails did you pull out to get it? Who did you wipe down with but okay. Oh, we got it's highly credible because it's a product. We got it from torture. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Of course, you won. Well, no, I mean, see, this makes me all. I guess this qualifies me as a squishy liberal. But you know, if we had run this, well, no, if we hadn't done. Hey, yeah, there it is. If we hadn't started this war, we wouldn't be looking for three soldiers who were abducted by the other side because we've been slaughtering. We've killed something like upwards of 750,000 civilians. That's just like you hate America firsters. We started the war. So now we're bending all our efforts and all the poor families. I wonder if they understand that this has happened to them not because of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, but because of George Bush in Washington, D.C. I can't help but wonder if they understand that. I wonder if they understand that this is happening because every general who has handled, who's taken the job to run the war in Iraq has done so because, you know, he wanted the next star. He wanted a little bit better on any, you know, ladder climbing, lick, spittle, kiss up. Others have resigned or retired because they couldn't stand dealing with George Bush anymore. But not David Petraeus. Oh, yes, sir. Let me snap you a salute. I can go get it done. Yeah, we're going to win. Going to win. It's fourth down and 99 yards to go with 1 second left in the game. But we're going to win, George. We're going to win. Brother. Oh, by the way, the number two guy at deputy, the Justice Department, Justice number two. He was resigning to spend more time with his family. Brother. I hope these people get found. I sincerely hope these people get found. I hope they get found alive, that some little miracle of decency takes place. But, of course, whatever Al-Qaeda tells us to do, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, we're going to do the other thing. Quit searching. Quit going door to door. Quit destroying the piece of what little piece they have of their lives. And maybe you'll get to... Jesus. And federal loans for coal plants. Coal-fired power plants. Jesus God. Oh, let's go to the phones. Wayne's joining us. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Been busy.
Yeah.
Just came back from a meeting with the NLRB and different things. I think, you know, all of your listeners are probably familiar with a guy named Jack Whitaker.
Oh, yeah, the multi-million-dollar Powerball winner.
Biggest Powerball winner, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think he got knocked off, though. I don't know. I think somebody won a bigger one. Anyway.
Yeah, careful about that phrase, knocked off. It means different things.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't mean anything mean.
You know? Yeah, I got you.
So. Anyway, you know, I've probably been chasing Jack Whitaker and his companies for 10 years. And, you know, long before he won all this money, he was a millionaire. But he became a millionaire by cheating and abusing workers.
Right.
And that's what he does. And, you know, finally after 10 years, I think I got him nailed pretty good. You know?
Oh, good.
Yeah. And, well, it's a very good thing. I just hope it works, you know, but I have absolutely no confidence in the system at all. You know, the NLRB people that we are talking about are under the direction of George Bush and his administration. You know, so we'll see how it goes. We'll see how they play it. You know, Jack Whitaker could end up getting off scot-free.
Right.
Which is what they do to so many of those people. But got a solid case. We'll just see how it works.
God, I hope it works out well.
It's going to. Well, you know,
of course, he's telling the world he's broke now, right?
I don't know what he is. He doesn't know what he is either. I also have state charges against him too. This is federal charges, and that we met about tonight. But
now, is the NLRB going to do anything? That's they're notorious for not doing anything.
Well, we're getting ready to go to court. We're getting ready to go to court.
Okay.
It's you have to. I took a guy into the union and found out that this guy, well, before I knew it, before I took him in the union, had worked for Jack Whitaker for 10 years. Made pretty good money. Now, he got cheated out of a lot of money also, but he made pretty good money. And he came and, you know, he wanted to join the union because he wanted to have health insurance. He wanted to have a pension. He wanted, you know, to try to get as much security as can, you know, be obtained for him and his kids and wife and all that stuff. So he decided the thing to do was join the union. So here's a guy that worked for Jack Whitaker for 10 years. I gave him a letter, and I told him, go show this to Jack tomorrow, and says that, you know, the Carpenter Union, you want the Carpenter Union to represent you and your fellow workers. Well, carpenters, anyway. And he presented the letter to Jack the next day, and Jack, now this kid was, superintendent, foreman, whatever Jack wanted to call him, but he ran the job. He had a company truck, a company gas card. He got treated fairly well. And Jack told him, when he handed him the letter, to give me the keys to the truck, give me your credit card. You are no longer a foreman or superintendent or whatever I call you. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't really give a damn how you get home. Now, what kind of gratitude is that?
Not much.
Right. Now, the thing about that is, if, in fact, Jack were obeying the law and paying these people the proper wages, because Jack always does state prevailing wage jobs, it wouldn't have cost him not a penny more. In fact, probably saved him money.
Yeah.
Probably saved him money. But this is what the guy did, you know. And,
He's got a track record of not being the best human being walking the planet.
Oh yeah, he did, you know. And like I say, you know, Jack was a millionaire when he won all the money.
Yeah.
And he got that money by cheating and abusing workers. I mean, this is, I do not stretch the truth. I mean, this guy has physically abused workers, choked them.
Jeez.
If you could imagine that, you know, the guy is done.
Of course, my biggest mental image of Jack is him standing there
with no teeth,
without his teeth in, with his big black cowboy hat, saying, "I'm going to give millions to the church because I'm a Christian."
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He had to give his, what do they call that, tithe?
Yeah, his tithe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's. I watched that. I got a call from a cousin in New York that when Jack Whitaker was on, was it 2020?
I remember
the
Today Show.
Is that what he was on? Did you see that?
I remember the Today Show.
Okay. Well, no. This is just recently.
Oh, no, sorry.
Last month or so.
Oh, okay. No, I missed it.
6 weeks, maybe. I don't know. And, you know, Jack's crying about it. Anyway, my cousin called me up. Jack Whitaker's going to be on television. I said, good. We're about ready to go to court. I mean, you know, it's all, it's a joke. I mean, the whole thing's a joke. And Jack Whitaker is not an honorable man.
Well, he claims that the Atlantic City kneecappers are after him now because he went to Atlantic City and ran up a bunch of bad gambling debts he won't pay.
I think that was Vegas, man.
I think it was Atlantic City, but it could be both.
It don't matter, you know.
Those guys will get.
Whichever, you know.
They will get their money.
You don't want to get those people upset.
No.
I mean, you know, I have to try to work within the law.
Right. They don't.
Most people don't. So.
You know, they come to you, you know, your money or your life, and it's really neither one to me. Either one's fine.
Yeah. And you're not going to decide. I am.
Right. You know, when you...
When that Jack Benny's, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I'm thinking. Well, you don't get to do the thinking in this situation. You have one choice.
Yeah, whatever that they choose.
And then after you pay the money, that don't guarantee too much either.
Oh, no, there's
could have been one of the worst.
There's interest in penalties.
Yeah, right. So. But anyway.
Well, I hope you can nail him. I mean, he's... Anybody who knows construction or knows in West Virginia knows he's a sleaze.
Well, and he doesn't do good work either.
No.
You know, he doesn't do any of those things. You know, when Jack Whitaker gets a job, the first thing you do is take the specs, you know, the specification that, you know, this pipe has to be at least 6 feet deep and yada, 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 yada. Well, you throw that in the creek. Because if you run into a rock, you go over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you know. So, anyway.
Well, out there doing God's work, then.
Well, trying, but, you know. I don't know.
Somebody has to. No, seriously. This is the good stuff. This is the stuff that's...
But that's the whole thing, you know, like... I mean, I found a couple of guys here that are willing to stand up for themselves.
Yeah.
But where are the rest of the people? I mean, when are you going to have enough? When is enough enough? You know.
How much is enough?
How much is enough? I mean, I got, you know, that station you used to be on?
Yeah.
Listen to this guy preach this morning that the oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies are just easy targets. They're not the ones that are cheating you.
They're our friends.
They're our friends. Yeah, really? Really?
Jesus.
You know, and I'm going, my God, how could anybody be so completely wrong?
Well, but there's not a lot of people buying into that crap anymore.
I hope not.
We call them 20%ers for a reason.
Huh?
We call them 20%ers for a reason.
Oh, they 20ers now?
Well, no, I mean, okay. You know, if it's 28%, the margin of error is 20, takes it down to 23%, so we just round to 20.
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody's aware of it, but Fox News lies.
No, really?
Yeah.
And the sky's blue, I hear.
Yes.
Hey, Wayne, good to talk to you, man.
Okay, brother.
Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Bye.
Later. All right, time to wrap this one up. Thanks, Agnes, for producing. Thanks to Peter Godbold, our IT professional, who has been trying to work with me through the program to get this recalcitrant PC to cooperate. I smell PC surgery on the way. Many thanks to John Fox, our engineer, to Brian Reznor, our announcer, and to Ben Birch, who's not feeling very good right now. Get better, Ben. We're thinking about you. And I'm sure he'd feel better if he saw the little thermometer climb at whiterosesociety.org where his fundraiser is going on. He needs your help. whiterosesociety.org. And, of course, many thanks to our news ninjas and our moderators in the headonradionetwork.com chat room. Sorry, guys, I would have loved to have been with you tonight, but it wasn't in the cards. And, of course, many thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who by their support for the founding of this network have made it possible for us to try to save the American dream while they build the American dream. And always, Liza, to bed with you. Always, always, RMR, Gina, it's all for you.